Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. YouTube feed is 94 WIP. Check it out there. So much to talk about. I'm back on the WIP Midday Show today, Wednesday, moving forward for training camp, which starts today. What a day. I mean, look, the Phillies, we got a lot to talk about the Phillies, too, because Bryce Harper's comments after the game. They lost last night, 8 out of 11. They'll play very early today in the finale down in Miami. LeBron, of course, is 6. It's a great time in Philadelphia sports. But today's a special day. So today is the first Eagles practice of training camp. Howie and Nick will speak today. Tomorrow is the first time the Midday Show will be there doing our show live. One of at least 6, hoping for some more, potentially some more, but at least 6 shows over the next few weeks live at Eagles practice. So we got a lot going on to talk about. But I want to dive in today. I do this every year in some form of the biggest storylines, the biggest questions I need answered in training camp, what I'm watching over the next few weeks. So let's go through them. I have 10 here, the 10 things top of my mind about Eagles training camp and the biggest questions I have for this football team as we head forward to the 2026 season. So I don't have Jalen Carter on this list, obviously, because Jalen Carter got signed yesterday. So that's done. The distraction's over. The question with Carter will be more in the season. I mean, Jalen Carter, I guess we'll see if his shoulders are okay. Could throw that as a bonus one here. But I imagine he kind of sat out of minicamp because he wanted his money. And he got his money now. I think it's risky. I'm not surprised, though. This is an Eagles move to get ahead of it. Carter locked up for years to come. All right, now that that's done, let's get to my 10, the 10 biggest questions I have entering Eagles training camp. Number one, and it's number one by a mile. It's Jalen Hurts and Sean Mannion, and it's Jalen Hurts' ability to adapt to this new offense and to become fluent in this new offense and to master this new offense. And I don't just mean from a conceptual standpoint. I think he'll do that fine. I mean, Jalen Hurts has been around football his whole life. He's a football guy. He's a quarterback. He's a smart guy. He'll understand the concepts. It's the execution. It is the ability to take his tendencies and break them. I think it's going to be very challenging. His footwork, his timing, his rhythm, his anticipation. Breaking those tendencies. He's a see-it-to-rip-it quarterback. This is a rip-it-to-see-it offense. It's the opposite. I think it's a big challenge for Jalen Hurts. It's number one. It's by a mile. I can't wait to see not only how he plays in this offense at training camp, but I also want to know how quickly he gets the football out. It is imperative in this offense that you see it quickly, you read it quickly, and you get the ball out quickly. That's how you get guys in space with the football, and that's how you get the yak in this offense. It works. I mean, it clearly works if done right. Jalen Hurts, Sean Mannion, that relationship, that combination, can't wait. That's number one. Number two, and the rest I just kind of wrote down. This is not like a weighted tier, but number one, the first one I thought of, clearly was Hurts and Mannion in the new offense. But number two, as we kind of just go through what's top of my mind for training camp, is the wide receiver rotation. They Tavion Wicks, Mekhi Lemon, who ends up the number two. I think the Eagles receiving core is going to end up a lot like the Packers over the past few years in that they're going to have Devontae Smith on the field most plays, but the other plays, the other drives are going to be rotations. And I don't think it's going to be, quote-unquote, Wicks is the two, quote-unquote, Lemon's the three. I think they're going to be interchangeable. I think they're going to be out there in a variety of roles. It wouldn't surprise me when this season ended. You know, you have a scenario where both Lemon and Wicks are in the 45 to 60 catch range, depending on health and a variety of factors. And there's going to be some weeks where Wicks is the quote-unquote two. There's going to be some weeks where Lemon is the quote-unquote two. But I want to see how they play. My guess right now is when they line up week one, it's going to be Wicks, not Lemon, on the outside. It's going to be Smith. It's going to be Wicks. It's going to be Lemon as a slot on third and long. But when they run two tight ends, it's going to be Wicks on the field, not Lemon. It's my guess right now. I think he's ahead. I think it's noteworthy that Nick Sirianni compared him to Keenan Allen, a guy he obviously had in San Diego and loved. I think that's noteworthy. So we'll see where it goes. I like Wicks. I like the trade. I like Lemon. I like the pick. I think they're in good hands moving forward with this receiving core. But we'll see who they are right now. Number three, who's the number two quarterback it's a huge part of this thing. It's always a huge part of the conversation in Philadelphia because of the history of this town. It's also a huge conversation for this team for two reasons. Number one, first and foremost, if Jalen Hurts gets banged up, which it's a 17-game season, he very well could. Anyone could. Any quarterback could. Who's coming in? Is this Tanner McKee? Is this Andy Dalton? And if so, or if, you know, whoever it's not, is that guy still on the roster? Because I think, and I've said this from the moment they drafted him, and the moment we really looked at him on the show before they drafted him, I think Cole Payton is something. I think they have a developmental player here in a quarterback in Cole Payton. I think he's going to have a big camp. I think he's going to surprise people. And I think he's going to be on this roster. It would not surprise me if he's the talk of you know, preseason in the next month or so. I think Cole Payton could play. So if I'm dedicating a spot to Cole Payton, which I believe the Eagles are going to end up doing, am I really taking four quarterbacks? I doubt it. So where does the loser McKee Dalton go? They're not cutting Tanner McKee, not after the years of development and not wanting to trade him away and kind of putting a high bar on his value. So they're not trading him, or not cutting him, excuse me. They could trade him. They could trade Andy Dalton. They could cut Andy Dalton. We shall see. They were splitting reps in minicamp. Number two quarterback, Dalton or McKee. Number four question is, who's playing safety, and do they have enough at that position? Now, I think this is almost a team conversation mixed with a league conversation. So Cooper DeJean is going to play some safety in base. That we know. We heard that. Minicamp, Vic Fangio said it. In base, they're going to go with Tariq Woolen on the outside. Klingon Mitchell, obviously, on the outside. Cooper DeJean as one safety. And I imagine Drew McCoube as the other safety. And that probably keeps their biggest weakness off the field, which is that other safety. And you might say, Joe, well, teams only go to base 20% of the time. Well, yes. But that number might be rising. We saw more teams go to 2 and 3 tight end sets last year. And if you're in a 2 and 3 tight end set, that lends itself to base defense. So I think there is a chance that Cooper DeJean plays more safety this season than we're anticipating, because we're going off the old numbers. And the old numbers may not be applicable to the 2026 season. You know, if more teams are copying what the Rams are doing. We saw the Jaguars take a tight end in the second round this year that was not projected to be a second round tight end because they want to run more three tight end sets. So if more teams are doing this, that puts you in base more. And if you're in base more, that means more Cooper DeJean in safety. So that being said, when they're in nickel, when they're in what has been the more primary defense for the Eagles and the whole league for years, how does it look? Is it Marcus Epps without a question? Maybe. Does Michael Carter have a chance? I think he does. The guy they traded for from the Jets last year. Could Cole Wisniewski, excuse me. It might be Wisniewski. I got to learn that. Has been the seventh round pick out of Texas Tech. Does he have a shot to play here? I mean, Reed Blankenship came out of nowhere, Middle Tennessee State, to become a player by the end of his rookie year. So, you know, maybe we see that kid out of Texas Tech. But they have a wide variety of players that they could put out there at the safety position next to Drew McCoube, including Cooper DeJean. Number five is Cooper, and what are they prepping for? So I got two thoughts on Cooper DeJean as we head towards this season. One, great player, all pro, but I do wonder how much of what they're doing is strictly and totally and 1,000% for the 2026 season. And how much is it for the appending contract coming? Now, Cooper's going to be a really difficult contract for the Eagles and Cooper DeJean's agent to figure out how much he is worth. It's going to be hard. It really, really is going to be a hard one for Cooper DeJean's agent to figure out how much he's actually worth. And I don't know what that is. Does he get paid like a corner? Does he get paid like a safety? Does playing him at safety a little bit more this year dilute that value in the marketplace? Eagles just paid Carter a lot of money. They pay Jordan Davis a lot of money. They're going to pay Quinyon Mitchell a lot of money. You know, if they could get Cooper DeJean at way closer to $20 million than $30 million, it certainly would help them out. So Cooper DeJean, what the plan for him is, what the future for him is, his contract, all that on my mind. All right, where are we at? Number six, offensive line, the new scheme, the depth pieces, everything about it. Chris Cooper is a new offensive line coach. You know, they did not play great last season. I think we anticipate if the Eagles are healthy up front, they'll be good again. But assuming health with this group might be the wrong thing. We'll see. You know, we shall see. I mean, that Dickerson contract restructure, if you want to call it, was probably pretty telling. Maybe his career and future is up in the air more than we want to admit. Cam Jurgens did not play well last year. These guys are, you know, across the world getting procedures trying to help out their backs. So are they okay? Is Tyler Stanley more than a guy? The interior offensive line for the Eagles feels like it's in question. I think the tackles will be just fine, this scheme or any other scheme, but Lane's got to show he can stay healthy after an injured season last year. O-line, this new offensive line coach, no Stoutland, huge piece of the puzzle here. All right, number seven, the tight end position. Is Eli Stowers ready to play? You know, some reports coming out of minicamp that he didn't do much in minicamp, had a sleeve on his leg, didn't seem like he was a big part of it. Eagles signed Johnny Munt as more of a blocking tight end. I'm skeptical Stowers is going to be ready from day one to step in and play. You know, a big transition going from kind of more of a hybrid receiver tight end to an inline blocking tight end. It took Zach Ertz some time, but he flashed as a rookie. I see similarities between Zach Ertz and Eli Stowers. I think in time he's going to be a very productive player in the NFL, and they're going to get a lot of catches out of Eli Stowers. I do wonder, though, in this offense, day one, year one, is he ready? And if not, is Goddard going to level off and stay where he was last year, which I thought was a middle-of-the-pack tight end? I don't get fooled by the touchdowns in the red zone. He's a middle-of-the-pack tight end when you add the receiving and the blocking. And can Johnny Munt play? Is he just a guy? That's a big position, especially if they want to run the football this season at a high level. Number eight, does Tank Bigsby have a shot at real carries? I think he should. He was way, way, way more explosive last year than Saquon Barkley. Your eyes told you everything you need to know. And I kept saying on the pregame show, kept saying the midday show, roll out the tank. Roll out the tank. Let this guy run the football. He was the more explosive running back. Now, I understand when you have a player like Saquon Barkley coming off a year, what he had in 2024, you're not going to put him on ice. You're not going to bench him. You're not going to, you know, split the carries 50-50. But now we go into a new season. It's a new running scheme. It's a new blocking scheme. It's a new offense. If we get through this training camp and it is obvious to anyone with eyes that the better runner and more explosive runner at this stage of their respective careers is Tank Bigsby, then the Eagles can't be afraid to give some of those carries from Saquon Barkley to Tank Bigsby. They can't be afraid. They shouldn't be afraid. They'd be crazy to have the carries be as wide as they were down the stretch of last season, where it's 23, 24 to 2 or 3. That doesn't make sense. Now, what that number is it, you know, let's say it's 24 to 2. Right? That means there's 26 rushes. I'm not saying it has to be 13-13, but, you know, 17-7 feels like a way to get something out of Tank and also protect Saquon as he ages here. Number 9. The inside linebacker position. Is Jahi Campbell ready for this? We're going to find out. I thought it was up and down last year. Some flashes, some moments where you watch, you're like, wow, look at the speed, look at the agility. But then there are moments he just kind of got lost, lost in coverage, got beaten over the top in that Tampa Bay game by Bucky Irving. They lost something in N'Kobe Dean, a guy that always was steady and knew where to be and was a heartbeat of that defense. I think they downgraded. Going from N'Kobe at this stage of N'Kobe's career versus Jahad at this stage of Jahad's career, it's a downgrade. Now, Jahad can make up for a lot of this with a big leap, and his athleticism could help him catch N'Kobe and get to the level N'Kobe was at last year fast. Because with him, it's not so much mind, it's body. The body of Campbell, the motor of Campbell, the speed of Campbell is why he could be that guy. But I think that's a question mark to the point where I wouldn't be surprised if Jeremiah Trotter Jr. puts a lot of good stuff on film and on tape in the preseason and in practice. And he and Jahad split time next to Zach Bond early in the season. Would not surprise me. And the last question I have on the edge, a couple questions with that position. Number one, is Jonathan Greenard the guy the Eagles think he is? Came off shoulder surgery in the offseason. Did not have a big year last year. You know, his sacks dropped considerably. And then this is just a personal anecdote that I found just like, And it's probably related to the shoulder surgery. and it probably affected his workouts and what he could do and what areas of his body he could you know, properly work out. But when Grenard came in for the press conference to introduce him, I guess it was the day after the draft, after the first night of the draft, you know, second night of the draft, right? I guess that's when the Eagles traded for him. You know, everyone talked about the sound bites and what he said and being here and all that. I just thought he looked small. I just thought he looked like a smaller professional pass rusher. Like you see a Micah Parsons. You see a Myles Garrett. You even see Brandon Graham. You know, you see the guys that rush off the edge, Jared Verse, they're huge. And Grenard did not look like that. He looked thinnish. He looked like a guy. I always say that football players, when they leave the game, they either put on a lot of weight or they deflate. You know, their muscles kind of go away and they're big people, but they look more like the average in shape person, not this gladiator. He looked like that. Had his glasses on, he's at the podium, didn't look very big. And like, this is the edge rusher that just gave $25 million a year to? So we'll see. Now, maybe when I see him at training camp, he'll look bigger, right? And he'll have put the weight back on and the workouts will have gotten him back to where he needs to be. I'm just a little skeptical. Last year, we saw Nolan Smith off of surgeries, and he didn't get to work out the same in the offseason, and he got re-injured and did play great. So that's a big deal. Is Grenard the guy they think, and do they get a bounce back out of Nolan Smith? So my questions, as we enter camp, my 10 biggest questions for the 2026 Eagles we enter camp. Hurts, Mannion, how does it go? The wide receiver rotation, Wicks first 11. Number two quarterback, I like Cole Payton. Who goes? Between McKee and Dalton, who's the number two? Safety, who's starting next to Drew Makuba? Cooper DeJean, what are they prepping him for, and why are they prepping him for it? Offensive line, brand new scheme. Are they good enough on the interior? Are they healthy enough on the interior? Could Chris Cooper coach anywhere to the level of Jeff Stoutland? Tight end, is Eli Stowers ready to play? Running back, will they actually give Tank Bigsby some real carries here, some real run? And inside linebacker, is Campbell ready to take a leap? And on the edge, is Jonathan Grenard the guy they think he still is? And can Nolan Smith bounce back? I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast, YouTube feed, 94 WIP. Check it out there.